I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't think they're very good right now. I don't think there's anything that they do really well, you know, and that becomes a huge part of it, is that not every team can do everything. But if you want to compete in this league, you better be really good at something if that's the case. And Dallas isn't really good at anything.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
That was funny. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. That's where Kurt Warner just was. And isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Kyle Shanahan has publicly used the word doubtful for Juwan Jennings. Doubtful.
On a Thursday.
On a Thursday. Let me translate.
He ain't playing.
You're going to see Juwan Jennings after the bye. Hell, you hope you see Juwan Jennings after the bye.
Although any word on Debo and his status today?
I don't know that you need much of a word. Debo was a full participant and dancing for much of practice.
Today. Okay.
So
The update. Full participant.
Yes, and George Kittle, too.
And dancing.
Yeah, I don't know about the dancing, but he was running.
Ready to go.
Yeah, so I'm running.
I have no concern about George Kittle and his foot.
I think you are safe to assume that we will probably see Debo Samuel coming up this weekend. So, and Jordan Mason was a participant as well. So you're looking at an offense that will have Debo, will have George, will have Jordan. Ricky Pearsall now, you got to have a role now. Because obviously there's no Juwan, there's no Brandon. But here's what I think is really key and really something that I'll look for Sunday night. And maybe we can all do this. I think there's a very big difference between Brandon and Juwan, for example, are missing a game, and you know about that at the beginning of the week, versus what happened to the 49ers last week, which is that they thought they had Debo and they thought they had Brandon, and then when that game developed, at least when they got back into it and it was 14-12, once that happened, they didn't have those players anymore. And you have a game plan that is already in place based on certain weapons who are now no longer available. That, I don't know who's going to get hurt in this game, but in theory, that's not what Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Cowing and Ronnie Bell, this time, they're going into the game knowing that they're going to potentially have more featured roles. And I think it's easier to assess Kyle Shanahan and play calling and either criticize or compliment based on what happens, because there's a game plan going around those players. That, to me, is very, very key.
Definitely. And you have an idea of what you are going to put in, what you're going to install for those guys, especially when it comes to Debo Samuel, because the Debo package of plays is different than any other player. And so when you find out the night before that he's a maybe, and then the morning of that he is a no, well, then that takes about probably at least 10 plays off your beloved laminated play sheet that you're just not going to run. All of the jet sweep potential, all of the Debo as a wide back, that goes off. Even some of the quick hitters where you're just going to throw it to him and he's going to step behind the line of scrimmage and he gets a quick pass and he's going to try to yak it up down the sideline. Those plays probably come off the board as well. So going in, you know it's going to be Pearsall and Debo. And from then you're going to have maybe a little Cowing, and you know, you're probably going to use Juszczyk a little bit more, I would hope, in the past game. So you can scheme it up knowing what you have going in. I do think that that's a big deal.
Yeah, and you're going against a team where you've got matchup wins all over the place. That's the other injury news. Micah Parsons looks like he's not going to be ready. I just don't know. Like, I'm with Kurt, and I'm not Kurt Warner, so I can say this with a little bit more oomph. I don't know what the hell the Cowboys have to offer in going against a decent team. I know that they can beat the New York Giants. That's fun. Good for you. But the Cowboys, and it doesn't mean, again, it's the NFL, so bippity-bop and the ball can bounce and you can mess up and do things on special teams. They've already played a couple of teams this year that don't have a whole lot to offer on film, and they've lost those games. So I understand that. but the Cowboys stink. Like, they really, truly, and I don't mean this in like a Niner fan sort of like trash talk way. They have very little to offer in terms of matchups on film. They have CeeDee Lamb. He is a very good wide receiver. End of conversation right now. They really, like, they don't have a run game. They don't have an offensive line. They don't have a pass rush. They have a pass rush, but they're out. They're not healthy. The 49ers, on this one, you really can lean into it. I don't care who the personnel is for the Niners in terms of weaponry on offense, unless everybody who's supposed to be in there gets hurt in the game. But even if it's the Niners should absolutely win this football game.
Yeah, and unfortunately, there are three phases. So, and Dallas is coming off a bye, which is a definite big advantage. I agree with you talent-wise. And the thing that has really hurt the Niners this year defensively has been the ground game. Running backs, especially in the second half. James Conner, Kyren Williams, last week, Kareem Hunt. Dallas is averaging 3.5 a carry, 32nd in the National Football
League. They're terrible.
And their offensive line doesn't create holes, and their running back, is it Dowdle, I think?
Rico Dowdle.
Yeah, good little player.
I mean, Zeke comes in for some old man strength every now and again. They're awful.
They can't run the ball. Yeah. And the passing attack, they're already down another tight end, and you've got CeeDee Lamb, who can do a lot, but you would hope that the 49ers are just going to bracket him across the field and make somebody else come out there and beat you. I think it's the backup tight end
who's going to
be out.
No, you scared me because I got Jake Ferguson.
Ferguson's in
one of the fantasy
leagues. The backup,
leagues, yeah.
I believe, is going to be out.
Got it.
You know, you don't have a lot of help for CeeDee Lamb in the pass game, and your offensive line's been suspect. So, yes, this should be a game where the Niners D can feast, but the biggest concern, and it's a concern every week, but it's even bigger this week, is the special teams gap between these two teams is profound.
It's fair.
So if the Niners are going to lose this game, it would be via the special teams. That Dallas has an elite punter. The Niners are, I think, 30th in net punting yards themselves. The Niners are on their third kicker, and Dallas has the best kicker in football. And Dallas has a very good kickoff returner who will take it 8 yards deep and look to hit you for a big one. So that, for me, is going to be the biggest hold-your-breath time in this Sunday night game.
That's fair. That's absolutely fair. That phase of the game, the Cowboys are much better than the Niners so far. All right, I have a little pet project that I want to run by you.
All right.
So first, how would you answer your own question? Who needs this football game more this weekend?
I think the Dallas needs it more. If the 49ers were to lose, and I always think about it in the negative, like the what if.
Yeah,
if
sure.
If the 49ers lose and Seattle beats Buffalo, which I think is a bit of a stretch, but let's just play the worst case scenario. They're allowed to beat Buffalo.
It's in Seattle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
that's a maybe.
It's a maybe. But if that happens, then you would be two games behind Seattle, and you have the tiebreaker over Seattle, but when you do play Seattle, they're going to be coming off their bye. So for me, the Seattle game looms as more difficult than the first one. But at 3-5, you're still not out of it by any stretch in the West. If Dallas were to lose and they fall to 3-4, I do think that they start to look up at Washington, who's coming back to earth. They got a quarterback injury. Hopefully he's going to be better this Sunday.
Yeah, he did not practice again.
Philadelphia is a team that maybe isn't as good as we're used to, but they don't have a first place schedule, and they look like they're going to be a 10-win team by hook or by crook. So for me, and you're Dallas coming off a bye, and you lose this one, I think Dallas is in a worse spot than if the Niners lose and fall to 3-5.
It feels pretty similar to me. Like, I think we're splitting hairs a little bit. I think they both really, really need the game. And so here's my pet project. I just want to run this by you. Don't get mad, Dibs.
You can say it, but it'll ruin your credibility.
I'm not going to say it. I'm not. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you open to hearing the phrase must win and not taking it in a sort of like black and white mathematical term?
Am I open to it?
Yes.
I mean, sure.
Like, you hate the term so much.
I don't hate the term. I hate the misuse of the term.
Well, but I know, see, and that's what I'm asking you about. Because I know what you mean by must win. And I know how Kyle Shanahan answered this last week. And obviously, until you're eliminated, nothing is a must win. However, from an emotional standpoint, from a likelihood standpoint, is your season going to go to a good place if you lose this game? I'd argue probably not.
That's surprising to hear.
It does not mean must. It does not mean you're out of it. It's not surprising to hear. Their schedule, you've detailed this,
right,
in the second half of the year, is a minefield filled with teams who are good and you're on the road and they are more rested.
But you've been 3-5 before and you've made it to the NFC Championship game. That's all I hear.
And that year's not this year. And that year also, you came down to 3 minutes left to go in a game and you almost missed the playoffs.
That was a must win.
Yes. And it was razor thin. So, yes, it doesn't mean if they lose this game that they can't win the division. But I would argue if they lose this game, the likelihood of their season being a bad one goes way up. It's really high. This is a crappy football team. This would be yet another. This would be a Rams or a Cardinals, if you ask me, if you go lose this football game. And the likelihood of having a good season is really bad if you lose. So, no.
See, I disagree with that part.
And that's fine. That's fine. But if I feel that way, can I borrow must win and you understand that I don't mean that in a mathematical way? Sure, they're still alive if they lose. But damn, I think they've got to have this game.
That's a big game, sure. And it's bigger than the Kansas City game. And I said it before the Kansas City game because this is a conference game. And if you lose a conference game, the tiebreaker when it comes to the wild card is head-to-head, and then it's conference record. So if your conference record stinks, then you're not going to win tiebreakers if it comes down to a wild card situation. So to that extent, yes, it's a big game. I don't think it's a must win because your division, no one's going to run away with this division. I don't believe it. I don't think that anyone's going to win 11. So if you go to 3-5 and you still have the Rams, Arizona, and Seattle remaining, and you do, those are games that you should win. Those are all should wins. You're favored in every game, for God's sakes.
Well, I don't even know if that's true anymore. And by the way, if you are saying that if you lose this game, you still need to get to 10 wins, you're assuming that it's like sort of likely that the Niners can go 7-2 down the stretch with road trips to Green Bay, Buffalo, Detroit is coming to town.
Yeah.
Like, my God, you even said the rest advantage for Seattle. Like, it's going to be hard. And to think that what we're looking at right now, even if Christian comes back, that you can snap your fingers and believe that 7-2 is, sure, it's possible, but is it likely? I'd argue no. I would argue no, and that's why I wonder if you would, you know, kind of allow for the idea that you're right mathematically, it's not a must win, but I kind of think they must win.
Yeah, you can think that.
They really must win this game.
Right, and I don't believe that would be the words that I would choose, but you get to choose whatever words you want.
I didn't want to upset you.
It doesn't upset me.
Well, I don't want you to get all sent off into some sort of emotional tailspin.
I'm going to pretend that I'm Tom and Ellen right now.
Oh.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Okay.
I'm not mad at you for using that word.
I don't know that they've ever said that to me.
Even when you threw a party and you hid in your room and called the cops on your own party?
I don't think they know about that. Are you listening, Mom?
Go ahead and dump that, Grandy. It only happened, 38 years ago or something.
I will tell you, and I don't even remember if this is the same night, because it's not like I only threw one party, but I think
like that time when your friend came and drove and parked on the lawn,
and your dad came out. And then he was mad. But yeah, he had a right to be mad on that one. I just wanted to deal with it myself. You know how it is. Like, mm-hmm. You're like, I'll deal with my stupid friend. Don't have you come deal with the stupid friend, because then it's going to get all over school the next day, and now I'm in trouble, right? But what happened with the party where I called the cops on myself, Mom, did I clean that house?
Yeah. I love this story.
I cleaned that house.
Except?
I was ready.
Would you forget the look?
I was ready to execute the lie.
Mm.
Hey, Mom and Dad, how was your weekend? Because I was just sitting here staring at the wall for the last 2 days. I didn't do anything. In fact, I guarded the house. I never even left it. I just guarded it so nobody would look at it. That was my story.
Until?
And mom went, okay, place looks great. And then she went to cook dinner that night.
Yeah.
And she opened up the oven and someone had shoved a Budweiser 24-pack.
Oh!
Without the beer anymore, just the packaging.
Of course.
In the oven.
One case.
Inside.
Your oven. Man.
Like, where do you think the what are you doing phrase came from?
Totally.
It was born that day.
Mark.
What are you doing?
Mark.
How does that help anyone? It doesn't help you.
No.
Whoever you are who put it in there. So luckily, my mom is the type of person who, when she opened it up, she just started cracking up. She just started laughing her A off. And then she's like, we'll talk later.
I think I know who did it. Asha Shana.
It's Asha Sharma.
Whatever. It worked yesterday. Do the legal. Oh, time for the
time
legal.
Time for the legal. I didn't do the legal yet?
No, it was a 4-minute oven story.
Time for the legal.
Yes. Anyway.
Listen to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. I don't know if they ever used that line with me. Like, they wouldn't say, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. They'd be like, no, we're mad.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm not mad, and I'm not really disappointed. I just don't like to use that phrase. I think that we in the media and, you know, coaches and players, you can think about it differently when you're actually doing it. But for me, as a fan and as a media person, when I look at it at 3-4 and you've got 10 games left, it's like the boy who cried wolf. We're not ready to cry wolf in October.
Okay, but did you hear the subtle change that I made? I didn't call it a must-win. I didn't call it a must win. I said it's not a must win, but they must win. It's more emotional, dude. It's not mathematical. You're right. The season does not end if we show up Monday morning coming off of a loss. I can't even say it. And that's kind of what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at. You went into last week. I thought they'd win. I really did. I was wrong on that. I understood it was a very high chance that they didn't win. And so there was an emotional preparedness for what ended up happening, even though I did not like it all the way that it went down. That's totally fair. That emotional preparedness is not there this week.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going to be all kinds of not okay if they don't win this football game on Sunday night.
Well, even through all the injuries they have, Dallas is injured as well. Maybe as injured, maybe not as injured. The Niners are better. The Niners are home.
Correct.
And Dallas has really two things that they can do to hurt you. One is CeeDee Lamb. Pretty obvious, Niners. Go ahead and do your best to cover him.
Just put
and the other
on
one yeah. is special teams, where their kick returner is number two in net yards, and their kicker is great, their punter is great. If you muck it up with an M on special teams, you can lose this game.
What matters more going into a football game in your little rest deal? This is what I wonder. Because the Cowboys come in rested, the Niners come in embarrassed.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've watched Fred Warner talk this week. I feel like the 49ers are embarrassed with themselves.
Yeah.
And so the Cowboys come in with a physical rest. I think the 49ers come in with an emotional edge because they truly... Like, they have got... I mean, Jerry Rice came on our station.
Yeah.
And called them a dead sideline, not fired up for the game. And you performed awful. And Brock Purdy played his worst game of his career. Kurt Warner has said it now, too. Like, embarrassing. It's not embarrassing every time you lose.
No. Minnesota was not embarrassing.
No, but yeah, I'd actually argue, unfortunately for the Niners this year, three of the four times they've lost, it's been embarrassing.
Yeah.
And that has got to drive them on Sunday.
Yeah, It does, and that game against Kansas City reminded me of playing Nerf basketball against Chris Fulton every year at Thanksgiving, and he'd kind of let me hang around, and then got down to winning time, and I couldn't get a shot off, and he'd win, I'd cry, he'd laugh, and we'd go have turkey.
Perfect.
It's the way that went.
And it was embarrassing.
It was always embarrassing, because I kept coming back, and the Niners have no choice but to keep coming back. And just as far as rest disadvantage goes, they're a -7 against Dallas. They do get a +8 against Tampa.
Yep.
Niners off a bye. But then they're -7 against Seattle off a bye. Buffalo is coming off a bye when they play at Buffalo. Chicago will have a 3-day edge when they play Chicago. So the schedule's tough for opponents, but also for a lack of rest.
There are a few of you texting in right now. What are you talking about? Dallas just got embarrassed at home. I'm sorry. I'm making a distinction here that maybe I didn't verbalize. Dallas sucks, so I don't care if you got embarrassed. Carolina gets embarrassed every week. You can't come back and be like, but nah. The premise is that the Niners are still a good football team. It's a good football team that is underperforming. They are undisciplined. They are obviously dealing with a huge injury bug, as many teams are. But I believe it is a team that is underachieving. I don't think that about Dallas. Their 3-3 record is actually one of the most misleading things in the entire NFL this year.
Yeah. I was watching that Pittsburgh game back yesterday, and I still don't know how they beat Pittsburgh. And that was the Justin Fields Pittsburgh, and they still were kind of trying to find their way.
And last play of the game, too, by the way, on
exactly.
a fourth down.
It was a nail-biter. And then I think they're more like the team that we saw against Detroit. And Detroit could have put up 60. I know they kind of tried to with all of the trickery that they kept pulling out. But
that team.
That was a statement game,
that
too.
That team is scary.
Yeah.
That team is good. That team is really good. Coach Franklin in Oakland. Hey, Coach, what's going on? Thanks for calling.
Yeah, how we doing? First off, let me give you a shout-out. Dibs, you're the smartest man that I've heard on the radio. I listen to you guys every day. Willer, you are the happiest father that I've ever spoken to.
Oh, I'm going to take that as a compliment, Coach. Thank you. I do. I got three, and they're the whole damn world.
Hey, I'm a newly grandpa, so... 38-year-old grandpa. So
what?
Hey.
I was going to say, your voice does not sound like you can. What? 38-year-old grandpa?
Yeah, 38-year-old grandpa.
Got some people doing work out here.
Yeah.
All right, Coach, what's up?
All right, so what I wanted to talk about was mainly, okay, when I heard Kurt Warner say, first of all, when he said hope, I'll get to that hope part as a coach, but... When we're talking about what do we need? It's what do we have all the other years before was a better second half. We don't adapt anymore. There's no adaptation. He does not learn. He doesn't adapt it to anything at all. Like if my arm when I broke my wrist, I couldn't tie my shoe. But do you think I walked out of the house every day with no with Crocs on? I adapted. I figured out a way to do it.
Does it
secondly,
do? Well, hold on, Coach. Hold on, Coach.
You had me a Crocs.
Coach, I want to ask you about that. Do you not feel like there's been a history of midseason Kyle Shanahan adjustments when a season's not going well? Do you think it's been true every year or just this year?
No, there's no more hope if you do this 40 times in a row. That's insanity.
Coach,
lost 40 times.
No, but Coach,
we're losing.
Coach,
based on his scheme.
Are you hearing my question?
Just maybe try it.
Yeah, he's not here. Yeah, okay. Anyway, thanks, Coach. Appreciate it. I reject that. I flatly reject that. When the Niners have been 3-4 and 3-5 in the past, you have seen actually some incredible adjustments made by the entire organization. The highlight of them is when they were like, you know what, Deebo Samuel's a running back. Ha ha. And then they went to the NFC title game. Nobody had ever seen that before.
And what was their record when they traded for McCaffrey?
Their record when they traded for McCaffrey was 3-3, and then they lost the game and became 3-4.
Gotcha.
When they acquired him.
Because that feels like a big adjustment.
That's an adjustment.
To me as well, when you go out and you get a player. And that might be the kind of adjustment that they need to make.
Maybe.
And I'd like to see the adjustment this Sunday offensively, partly what Kurt Warner was talking about, and we've heard it from everybody. If you're having trouble getting guys open, bunch formation, rub route. routes, short routes, do something a little different offensively, and I think that he will.
I see that, and I agree that it feels that way to this point. Let's see. Let's see what the adjustment is, but we're not there yet to say that he won't adjust. He has in the past, and again, injuries that happen that you didn't know were coming when your whole receiving core, you think you have him and then you don't. To me, that's different from a game planning standpoint. This one will tell a story. There's no doubt. All right. 888-957-9570.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.